You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
She said that COVID was going to feast on college football fans because of the no mask, because of the full stadiums. And he's 100% wrong, Sean. Cases have plummeted all over the South, down nearly 60% in Florida. Nobody's talking about it. Fauci was wrong again.
Well, that's not good. You know, I was talking before about Fauci being the, you know, the words of wisdom for the doctor who's supposedly supposed to know everything about this vaccine. And, you know, it's at the point now we have most of us, or maybe not most of us, have been vaccinated. But, you know, who knows? I mean, it's like, you know, it's almost like a crapshoot with him. But anyway, I'm Kathleen England. I am filling in for Larry Connors for the next couple of days. Today is Monday, October 4th, 2021. Wow, October already. And we have, what, October? Halloween? You know, I saw Christmas candy and decorations. I mean, we're not even, it's what? It's the 4th. It's only a couple days into October and everybody's talking about, forget Thanksgiving, we're going to Christmas. It's like, but I have to say, I did buy some of those really cool little cinnamon pine cones. They make your house smell really nice. They're really good. But anyway, I digress. But as I'm saying, it's the holidays. You know, people are thinking about, I'm not even going to go to Halloween and trick-or-treating. That's a whole nother show. That's like a 2-hour show. Do you trick-or-treat or do you not trick-or-treat? But, and I remember, I got to say this. I remember I was watching the news and last October, remember the week they were doing the trick-or-treating and that guy came up with like that tube that went like down his outside, steps, and he would put candy down the tube and the kids would hold their bags out and the candy would come and drop in their bags so there was no contact. I love that. It's like, that's what we need more. You know, that's positive and it's fun and the kids get their candy and it's not, you know, everything is good and you laugh about it because, I mean, it's so simple, but it's great and it just makes you smile. So we need to smile more and more people need to be clever. But as I said, you know, Halloween and then Thanksgiving. And you've got people coming. You know, it's been so long since everybody could have that family gathering and eat, you know, that great meal together. And so, you know, the question is to Dr. Fauci again. You know, what's going to happen? Are we going to have to spend, you know, holidays again doing Zoom, you know, or doing, the thing on the phone or whatever it is. It's like people want to be near their family and people want to do that now and want to prepare for Christmas. And now he says when he was asked that it's just too soon to tell. He doesn't know whether the pandemic would be around or this variant would be around and that if it would disrupt the Christmas holiday gathering or not. And, you know, it's everybody doesn't want to wait for that. You know, it's like he said, it's just too soon to tell. And everyone's got to concentrate on continuing to get the numbers down, not jump ahead by weeks or months over October again, only a couple months. So, you know, by being that vague, I mean, he has been called Scrooge Fauci. I mean, he's Dr. Gloom, Dr. Doom. Larry calls him Dr. Fake. And now there's Scrooge Fauci. And I think that he needs to realize and maybe kind of like, you know, say, well, it's too soon to tell. Well, maybe you need to kind of rework that answer. Maybe you need to be a little bit more positive. Maybe give some ideas or just say, you know what, maybe we'll have an idea when it gets closer to the holiday. Maybe start with Thanksgiving because it is just around the corner, but then, you know, there's Halloween first. But it's like, you know, you want to make it safe and you want to make the best of the situation, but you just don't want to be, you know, well, nope, too soon. We'll let you know. When are you going to let us know? week before, 2 days before. It's like we should have been preparing for this. He should have been preparing for this because that's what he does. So too soon is just not an acceptable answer, I don't think. I mean, Senator Rand Paul calls him, you know, a Scrooge, saying that, you know, who made him the Christmas czar. He's just is not getting, you know, any respect from people who want answers. And I think by now, you know, everybody wants an answer. They want, oh, tune in. We'll update you. Just wait. Nuh-uh. Gotta know now. We want it right now. Or maybe next week. We'll come back. We'll have more.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know what should happen, Sean? He should resign because we need a new person to be the czar of COVID in this White House with Biden. It shouldn't be Fauci. He's a disaster. I think he knows it. I'm glad he's finally getting called on it. And I encourage everybody out there, NFL stadiums, college stadiums, pack them, burn the mask. Let's have a fun time, baby, and get back to normalcy in this country.
I don't know about burning those masks, but I tell you, he's become wishy-washy. You know, he's just not somebody you turn to who has the answers, or at least will give you that sound advice. I think that the American people are looking for right now. I mean, he really, really didn't do a great job by saying that, you know, you're packing people into a stadium and you know, they're all going to get sick of COVID because, you know, they're not wearing a mask or not this or not that. They're actually asking for him to step aside because he's just he's not the person, the go-to person anymore, which is just really sad. So it's that's what they're asking him to do, to step aside. And he's being a deterrent to efforts to getting the vaccine or to learning about that variant or to wearing a mask. So, you know, what are you going to do? He's not going to do it. He says no. No, he's not going to do it. And there's an evolving situation that he feels that he needs to be a part of. But the problem is, you know, like I said, we talked about the movie coming out in September and he was caught without a mask and he's, you know, saying, yes, you can wear a mask. No, you can't wear a mask. You can get it, the virus, if you are vaccinated completely. But then, you know, the booster is a big question mark. So it's like, what do you do? What do you do? You know, and honestly, I think if they had somebody that could be a backup, that could be a stronger personality, that would just make people feel more at ease or at least more informed so they can make a better decision and a smart decision, then maybe he should step down. Maybe he should step down.
You are creating an absolutely false narrative that people sit down and say, you know, I know that vaccines are good. I know that they may save my life and that they may save the life of my family and that I have a societal responsibility in order to keep this outbreak under control and to get it really under control. But I'm just not going to get vaccinated because of Tony Fauci. Hugh,
you're not hearing me.
No way.
You're not hearing me, doctor. You're not hearing me. I'm saying people see you come on and they turn off the channel because they don't like you. Whereas if a new face arrives, a new younger face that says, okay, new start, I'm never going to tell you that masks don't need to be worn because I got to. If a new person shows up, I think we're more effective.
I agree. I think right now that he's done himself in. And he may know the answers or, you know, he is a scientist. So, you know, we have to give him credit for being a scientist. But the problem is that all of this is just so cluttered. And, you know, he's got does these interviews and, you know, he is being attacked. His credibility is being attacked because he's been kind of wishy-washy. He's been back and forth. And, you know, he just is not coming across as somebody that can be trusted. You know, I think that we need somebody who is a straight shooter, who's not going to kind of go, well, maybe this or maybe that, or maybe if you do this, or maybe if you wear two masks, or yeah, if you get vaccinated, you won't get the virus. But oh, wait, you might get the virus, but you won't have the symptoms. So maybe if you're 65 plus, you need to get the booster and then you'll be really safe. But then what do you know? What's going to happen in a month or so? You know, are you going to have to get another vaccine or maybe in 6 months? How long does this actually last? How long does it work? What exactly does it do to your immune system? I mean, does it, you know, jack your immune system up so you don't get the virus or what does this booster do that the other two shots don't do? And how do they work together? You know, there's so many questions, you know, and then you have, you know, the questions about Thanksgiving and Christmas and all this other stuff. And it's all about people wanting to be with family and people wanting to be independent and make those decisions on your own. But you can't be told make a smart decision if you don't have somebody that's not saying, hey, look, this is what it is. Science prevails. Take the vaccine. Do the booster. It will work. You know, he's backed off and said, no, well, it may work, but you might have to get a booster or you may get it, but you won't have the symptoms that you would have if you didn't get immunized. So it's like, what do you do? Who do you take? Seriously. I mean, really, what do you do? I understand that they've asked him to step aside. He needs to. He really does need. And it would be very professional of him. And it would be an understanding. I think he'd actually be more popular if that's his deal. It would be more popular if he said, you know what? My credibility is compromised by all of this. I goofed, but I'm going to, you know, step aside and Dr. So-and-so is going to take over. And then Dr. So-and-so can come on and just tell you exactly what it is. We don't need this back and forth and we don't need all these shows and we don't need a movie. We just need facts and you need to be dry about it. You're not a personality. You need to be a scientist. I think people would really take a scientist to heart and they would be smart about it. If the guy comes, I mean, I don't care if he looks like, you know, some little nerdy guy with the glasses on and the white coat on and the whole bit. You know, he needs to be serious. You need to know this guy, his background. He's a scientist. He does this and this and this, and he can answer your questions completely. And if he can't, he will find out about, you know, the question. He will raise the question, or he will answer the questions about the booster shot or the variant or masks or blah or this or that or that. You know, I think once you forget what you are, a scientist. You're not a personality. You know, you made a movie. Well, yeah, not such a good idea. Not such a good idea to release it in September, considering it's just October. But I think that people will really, really take someone to heart who they know about and know that they're looking out for their well-being. And that's what they do. That's what they're going to do in life is take their well-being and their health to heart and make them understand that, hey, look, you know, this booster is something you're going to need. And no, you're going to be okay 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years from now. It's not going to say, you know, we're not going to come back in a year and go, uh-oh, you took the booster, you're in trouble. Now you got to go and you got to do this and you got to take this pill and that pill and that pill because you could get this and you could get that. No, you need confidence. You need somebody to say, look, this is what it is. This is how it works in your body. This is what it does to the variant. And this is how it works with your other vaccine shots. That's what you need. That's what you have to do. And right now, I don't believe that Fauci has, he doesn't have it anymore. I think he's lost it. I think that just, he's too casual. And he has been, you know, he's a friend to the media. And I don't think you want to be a friend of the media if you're a doctor or you're a scientist. You know, it's you need to be professional. You just need to do that. It just doesn't work. You know, I had mentioned earlier that Senator Sinema from Arizona was ran into the bathroom, and because she was chased by some of her people, I guess, who were supporting and who knocked on doors for her to get votes and do all this stuff. And then I thought it was interesting that President Biden just said, well, that's just, you know, that's how it goes. That's what you have to do. That's what happens in politics when you promise something. I guess he knows how that goes better than anybody. You know, you promise something and then, you know, you win and then you turn around and don't thank the people that, you know, worked for you or knocked on those doors or do whatever. I mean, I know that there's some complaints against him for not following through with his promises. So, you know, he would know better than anybody else that's the process. You go hide in the bathroom or go, you know, hide in the closet until, you know, they leave. If that's the game you want to play, then I guess that's what you're going to have to deal with, because she said it was harassing and she was stuck in the bathroom for a while, and she said it's inappropriate and unacceptable. Well, you know what? I agree that it's unacceptable and it's inappropriate. But if you have all these people willing to give their time and, you know, they go knocking on doors for you or whatever, and they give, you know, donations to you, then I believe that is totally unacceptable. You know, you got to do what you got to do. You know, you promise something, you got to keep your promise. You can't go to, you know, Washington and say, oh, I just got here by myself. Nobody helped me. You know, so maybe she's stuck in the bathroom for a while until she realizes that she needs to give back to those people. I think it's just the way of Washington. It just seems to be the way that they do business, which again, I just don't think is very nice. And I just don't think you would think by now we would stop doing all these crazy stuff. It's just stupid. It really is. But anyway, what are you going to do? You know, you got to get there somehow. You got to get votes somehow. And obviously, maybe she did it the wrong way, or maybe she just needs to be honest, you know. But then again, does honesty really get you anywhere? I don't know. I mean, honestly, when I worked for a non-for-profit and I saw what they were doing to a building and wasting money and doing this and doing that, you know, because they wanted Bill Clinton and they wanted it to look the part on TV. So it was thousands upon thousands of dollars that these people wasted. And I was shocked because I'm like, aren't you on a budget or anything? Stupid me. I'm like, that's going to cost a lot of money to put all that glass back in that building. And it's going to cost a lot of money to keep these cops on, you know, on patrol just for this one street. Now, granted, it is the president of the United States, but still. I mean, and you got the Blackhawks, you know, you've got the, not the Blackhawks, we've got the black helicopters there and everybody's like stopped what they're doing and they're circling this building all because the president. Well, yes, I got that. You know, the president has to be protected, but they weren't really protecting the president. They were helping these interns or these college students better you know, with their glass breaking techniques to make sure that that building looked like it was in, you know, a very bad part of town, city, if you will. So that was interesting, but it really gave me an insight to how much money goes to stupid things like that. And I will say stupid because I did watch it. You know, it was just, you have all this money and you have so many people that need it and you have so many groups that need it. And the one thing I did like about Trump is that he turned everything inside. You know, you felt like he was really paying attention to what was going on in the United States. Now, whether you agreed with him or didn't agree with him, you know, you live in the United States. You have that prerogative. You can say, no, I don't like that, or yes, I like that, and they're not going to cut your tongue out. But the thing of it is that you have to realize that so much money is wasted on such ridiculous things when, you know, it's just so heartbreaking when you see, you know, the people out there, you know, asking for money, or the people that live in these horrible homes, or people that have lost their homes for one reason or another, or you've got a slew of mentally, people who have all of this mental illness, and they need help as well. You know, there's so much that the United States needs to do to their own. And instead of this dog and pony show that you put on for each president so it looks the part, you know, who cares? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a waste. It's such a waste of money. It's just, we need to change our ways. You know, and it just needs to be cleaner, and it needs to be more thought of. We'll have more when we come back.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Did you hear about this thing about penniless immigrants or migrants deported to Haiti? They told the Washington Post that President Biden had invited them, but then suddenly rejected them after they spent their money and risked their lives to teach at the Del Rio Landing in Texas. It's like little stories like this you just don't know. Seriously? I mean, that's horrible. But then you see all of those people that were under the bridge, and then they disappear. And you see all these people that are coming in thousands, I mean hundreds of thousands of people that are reported coming in to the U.S. They said 24,000 Haitian migrants are coming in to the U.S. And it's just unbelievably, you know, we talk about masks and we talk about vaccines for, you know, the people who live in the United States. And then you have all of these people who are trying to get into the United States and wherever they're from. You know, some of them, they say like 1 in 5 or 1 in 10 are sick, but they're not, you know, they're not saying that they're sick with the virus. They're sick with something or another. But it's just, how can you allow that? And all of these people come into our country, not saying you should just turn them all away, but how can you not have a plan? Because obviously when Trump was president, and even when Biden was vice president, that's always been an issue of crossing over the border. It's always been an issue of do you put a wall up? Do you do this? Do you do that? Well, Trump put the wall up, you know, and it seemed to work, or it was working. But then you take the wall down and you have no plan. You know, you can't not think that, oh, I'll just say don't come across, or, you know, it's illegal to cross over the border. But honestly, with hundreds of thousands of these people crossing over and these babies, these children that they're just finding, they're just dropping them in anywhere. defend for themselves just to, you know, to come over and maybe they survive and maybe they don't. It's just mind boggling. But it's like, you know, you have Biden and it takes a plan. I mean, don't you think if you, this is not new. This is not, oh my goodness, this has never happened before. Well, of course it has. You know, that's why we have the border. That's why you have, you know, the fence, or that's why you have the wall, and that's why you have Border Patrol. But if you don't have a plan, if you can't think, okay, right now I've got to make sure that the people in my country, the United States, have to get vaccinated, or we need to find out what's going on here, or we need to find out what the big fear of being vaccinated is, or the booster, or whatever. You know, you have a plan for that. Then certainly you would think that somebody in his regime, somebody would say, hey, look, before you do that, you got to have a plan. You've got to figure out what to do with all these thousands upon thousands of people, because who knows what they have and who knows what is going to happen when they go to the United States. They know some of them were coming to Missouri. Some of them were going to Illinois. But the thing of it is, in other states who are taking these people in, and that's wonderful. But I think a plan of action, how to do it, steps to do it, is would have been so much better than what's happening now. You know, and then the media clicks on, and I was in the media, so I know what happens. And it's like they show the worst possible picture ever, and they don't allow for you to think, okay, we're helping these people. It's like, oh my God, what are they doing? They're gonna take jobs. Well, nobody here goes and gets jobs anyway. You're all sitting home using your unemployment. We'll be more when we come back.
Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
Oh, smokestack lightning, shining just like gold. Why don't you hear me cry? Ooh, ooh, ooh.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, we were talking about Haitian and the people that are coming here from Haiti, from Cuba. In the Washington Post, they say that during the first 7 months of the Biden administration, from February to August, 92% of Haitian migrants, or 24,770 people, were processed. So they were granted access to asylum. And then the ability, they're given the ability to get jobs. And most Americans see this as a threat. You know, they are having a hard time themselves. And they say that this mass migration is opposed by a lot of Americans because it makes their families poor, moves money from employees to employers, from families to investors, from young to old, children to their parents, home buyers to investors, from technology to stoop labor. And also from red states to blue states, and from central states to the coastal states such as New York. So there's a lot of, I mean, whether that's true or not, this is what Americans believe. So there's a lot of, you know, people just don't want those people in our country for whatever reason, taking a job, hurting the economy, being sick. And again, what I said before about a plan, or, you know, and what I don't understand, you've got the press corps there. You know, he's got his regime. He has access to, you know, some great minds and great marketing and PR people. And, you know, if you're going to do this, you can't just open and accept and, you know, grant asylum and say, hey, we're going to, you know, we're going to get these people jobs, blah, blah, blah. Well, not the way the United States are right now. It's not a good thing to do right now. And it's like, well, what are you going to do? Keep them under the bridge for, you know, six more months. And, you know, they're having a, it's horrible to live what they were. It was just gosh, it was just awful to see these people. But it's like you have, like I said, you have to have a plan. There has to be thought about this. And it's not just, you know, looking at the camera and reading the teleprompter or what your, you know, whoever it is telling you to say. It's that you have to think about the people in your own country and what and how they are feeling about this whole thing. And then you need to take it and you need to figure out a way that make it work together. And if these are the people that need to come into the United States, then you need to figure out how to do that and do it in a way that the American people don't feel threatened, you know, that the crime isn't going to go up because you have these people who don't have jobs or don't have anything for that matter. And they don't. They're coming across here with maybe their shirts on their backs if they have shirts. And some of them are incredibly sick. So they need health care. You know, by doing this and dealing with all the craziness that's gone on from this pandemic, and then before that with all the protests, it's just the United States has been in a state of chaos for so long. And I think, and then you have to deal with this border and the border control. And if the guy on the horse was, you know, whipping, you know, the person with his reins or with a whip or whatever, it's just too soon. You know, before you just let the media out and let them go crazy and start talking to these people and looking at what's going on here, you have to have something to say about your plan. You know, what you're going to do, the process, the steps. It's not open the doors, let's give them a shot and move them out. You know, it just doesn't work that way. And the people are going to get really, really negative again. And you're going to see these protests and there's going to be protests for them and protests against them. But, you know, you wouldn't have to have any of that if you just came up with a plan. If you just had steps, if you just said, hey, look, I know you're going through a bad time, but these people are really, really going through a bad time. I mean, for crying out loud, they're living under a bridge. You know, these children don't have anything to eat or, you know, it's just bare bones on what we're giving them. You know, come on. It's kind of like common sense, don't you think? You're the president. You can do this. You can come up with a plan. And if you don't have a plan, you got somebody in your staff that's smart enough to come up with a plan because you're president, you know, and I know you didn't get there by, you know, your smarts. You got there by somebody else's smarts and somebody else's money. So let's call it what it is. But you're going to let the media show all of these people and you're going to say thousands. I mean, 24,000, I believe it was like up to 80,000 or something of that crazy a measure. I mean, it's risen so fast in such a short amount of time. And it's like, were you really that dumb to let the media go and to let these reporters go and talk to these people without you representing the United States and what you can do for them and how you can do this without threatening or having anybody from the United States feel threatened? I mean, come on. It's almost like it's just dumb. And I mean, that sounds really horrible and just maybe, you know, stupid, but what else can you call it? You know, you do this, you do that, you've got this enormous $1 trillion whatever bill that's not going to cost anybody anything. You let all these people into our country that may be sick, may not be sick, don't have jobs, but you've given them, you know, the power to get jobs. You have no idea where they're going. So you try to stick them in a state that has, you know, that type of organization that can help these people, which I'm all for that. But come on, don't you think it's kind of overload? Everything that I'm reading from, you know, Biden and, you know, his building better agenda and, you know, all of this stuff, you know, Fauci and all of this. It's just so chaotic. And you can't live in a country that's this chaotic because then you get this protest and then you have the people that are behind the protest hire people in and they come and they break things. And, you know, you're sitting back going, wow, you know, that's really wrong. And I know what happened, you know, in your state is wrong, but why did you have to tear everything up and set things on fire and break into break into storefronts and all this other stuff and create such a total chaotic destroying people, destroying their you know, their businesses, their mom and pop businesses. They've been there for years. Why would you do that? Well, because somebody paid you to walk in and do it and then turn around and walk out. So you have absolutely no emotion. You're just doing it for the almighty buck. And it's like, you gotta say no. Enough's enough. And in order to do that, like I said, I think I've said it 1,000 times during these 2 hours that I've been on, you have to have some sort of a plan. You have to have a time frame. You have to have an outline. I mean, that's just basic. You know, you just can't say, oh, let's just open the door and let them all in. Or, you know, and then we'll send the cameras. And so one day you show all of these thousands of people under this bridge. And the next day, oh, they're gone. Well, where'd they go? You know, and are they in a place where they can get medical attention? Oh, no, we just let them into the States. You know, we'll give them one of those silver blankets to make sure they're warm. And we'll put a mask around them and we'll do whatever. No, it doesn't work that way. Because then you're just really going to make people mad. And then you're going to get these crazy protests. And then it's just going to be, you know, it's like this, you know, what is it? You know, basically just chasing your tail. You're doing the same thing, different year, same thing, same thing. Nobody's getting any better. Nobody's getting any wiser. Nobody's getting any richer. They're just getting sicker and tired of all this craziness that's going on. This is just my opinion based upon the stuff that I've read. So I just wanted to tell you, I'm not an expert on any of this, but being in the media, you see a lot. You see a lot behind the scenes. And in my 20 years of being in the media, I never saw anything like this. I mean, you know, I was up in a chopper for most of the time, and we covered when Al Sharpton was here and closing down Highway 70 and dealing with all of that. But the thing of it was, it never escalated to the point that it did in Ferguson. It never did that, you know, actually, because when they did go on Highway 70, they didn't realize that the part of the highway that they were on was already closed down. So that's why there was no cars there. But the thing of it is that it was maybe not under control 100%, but they weren't doing what they did in Ferguson. They weren't doing these crazy protests where they were lighting fires and harming one another to the extent where, you know, people are getting shot. People are getting, you know, they're getting injured. If we live in this country where you have the ability to say what you feel, it's freedom of speech. And you can say whatever you want. You're not going to get sued. You're not going to be whatever unless they can prove it. But, you know, you're not in a country where if you say something, they're not going to put you in a dungeon and cut out your tongue. I mean, it's like all of these people are, I can do this and peacefully protest. And they say, well, in case we, you know, to really get the point across, we need to, you know, have weapons, or we need to walk and make a fire or break a window or do this or do that. You know, no, if you can talk logically and calmly with someone, you know, maybe you can make more of a difference because you're being positive in a big negative than being negative and just having it escalate to the point where people are like, holy crap, I'm not going to visit that state. Those people are just way out there, you know, and then you're like, holy, maybe I should move. This is just not right. You know, after the pandemic, after everything, you all need to look at one another and say, I'm so glad you're still with me. I'm so glad you're still my friend. I'm so glad you're still my brother and my sister, whatever. Instead of being so mean, instead of being so angry, you know, the road rage around here is just absolutely, I mean, I had a personal experience not too long ago, but it's like you have people that actually stop in front of you, get out of their car and walk towards you. And I'm like, who does that? You must be so angry, and it can't be at me because I was looking for something and driving slow. I realize you're going like a bat out of hell to get somewhere, but don't look at me like you're going to beat me up just because I was going slow. You know, that's what's wrong with everybody. Way too much chaos, way too much drama, and it's way too much anger.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I was screaming loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You know, we were talking about getting the vaccine. We're talking about a lot of stuff, or at least I was talking about a lot of stuff. But it's interesting and it's sad because I just came across this article. And at least 207 law enforcement officers died in the line of duty as a result of COVID-19. And It's just unbelievable that they died in the first 9 months of the year from exposure to the coronavirus. And, it, you know, it could be a lot higher. They're not really sure. They're just getting all of this information in. But it's just sad, you know, and it's like what I've been talking about for the last 2 hours. It's just, you know, this is the first responders. This is their line of duty. Their line of duty is to come in to help you. And, you know, it's just, I think that if you get the vaccine or you don't get the vaccine, you know, you're an adult, you make that decision on your own. But I think that you have to look at everything about that. And you have to think what's best for you. And if you're going to stay home and not see anybody, be on Zoom and don't go out, you know, don't go out and speed and get pulled over by a cop, you know, and keep your mask on. They have a lot more contact with people than, you know, your average civilian does because they go into all of these different and difficult situations. And, you know, in order for them to get there and get there fast, a lot of times, you know, they don't have the vaccine. I think they're all getting them because they have to. But, you know, maybe they can't wear the mask or whatever. But, I mean, you just got to be smart about all of this. You know, to have officers dying just because that they have come across this virus and for one reason or another, they can't survive it for whatever the reason, it just doesn't make sense. This could be preventable. And I think that's one of the biggest things that with this Dr. Fauci and whether or not he's still credible or whatever, it's like you have to look at what it is and you have to do your own research because you're an adult and you can do research. And it's up to you to be that adult and be smart and to learn everything you possibly can about Moderna, about Pfizer, about J&J, about everything that's out there and what you should do and what you should not do. And if you decide not to do it, that's fine. But then take the precaution. Wear the double mask. Do whatever you need to do to keep yourself safe, but also the people that you come, you know, you encounter along the way, whether it's your hairdresser, whether it's your mailman, whether it's the, you know, you get pulled over on the side of the road for a speeding ticket, whatever it may be. You know, I had a friend who went into a grocery store and they basically turned around and said, not happening. You have to have a mask. And it's not that hard to do. Just put it on and deal with it for like, you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes, however long it takes you to shop or whatever you're doing. I think that being smart, but also being respectful of others, I think that's very much lacking in today's society. And, you know, everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to, you know, scream and do this and do that. But, you know, when it comes down to it, when you go home, when you're there with your kids or you're there with your loved ones, and let's say, you know, one of them comes back and they have the virus. Well, then you all have to deal with that. And maybe you wouldn't have to deal with it if you just were smart about it. You just it's research it. It's learn it. It's get educated with it. You know, I'm not saying go back to school. I'm just saying read. You know, ask questions. Call your doctor up and have a consult. You know, just say, look, what do I do about this? What about this and this and this? You know, I've had cancer. I've had a melanoma. I've had this and this and this. Am I susceptible to getting this? You know, or should I do this? Or should I not do this? Or should I just stay home? You know, I think that being smart and doing something like that, less drama, you know, why not? You just can't just not do anything and then just blame someone else because, oh, you know, I had to wear a mask or didn't wear a mask or this mask didn't work or, you know, go slug somebody when you're going to dinner because they asked if you were vaccinated to show your card. I mean, what is that? Seriously? Is it that big of a deal to put out a little card and say it doesn't have, you know, I don't know if it has your birth date on and I can't remember. I mean, hey, I lied about my age for a long time. My mother got so mad at me because she couldn't remember. She basically used me. I have a brother and he's 5 years younger. So she would remember my brother's age based just 5 years less than me. But the problem was I would tell different people my different ages. And then she caught me and she's like, you're not. And I said, stop right there. Don't say a word. You know, when you're a woman in your media, you have to look young all the time. So they don't need to know my real age. And so when we got outside in the car, she's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you lied. I'm like, well, who cares? It's not hurting anybody. Lying about your age to somebody like that, it's not going to hurt anybody. You know, but it's like, who cares? You know, there's no drama. She can't. I told her, I threatened her. I said, if you say this again, I will never, ever, ever call you mom. She's like, okay, okay. So what are you today? You know, what'd you tell him? I'm like, I don't know. We just don't talk age. But be smart about it. You know, life is too short for all this drama, all this anger, all this craziness. I mean, seriously. You know, debt, all this stuff. You know, enjoy life. Life's too short. And no more drama, please. Enough with the drama. Have a great, great evening.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.